Wondering if we could open the gospel meeting by singing hymn number 10. Number 10, if somebody could raise the tune, please. Let's just ask the Lord's help. Our God and Father, tonight we look up and we look to Thee for help, as Thou knowest the hearts of all men. Thou knowest who in this room tonight is real and who is a child of God and who is not real. It is on that broad road that leads to destruction. And we look to Thee tonight, asking Thee for a work of Thy Spirit and any soul here that might be lost. We ask Thee for clarity of thought. We ask that Thy Spirit would take Thy word and power and apply it to the consciences of those who are in their sins here tonight. We commit the message into Thy care, and we thank Thee that we have a message to tell to this lost and perishing world in an hour such as this. We ask for blessing upon Thy precious word tonight, and we commit it into Thy hands and ask this in the worthy name of the only Savior of sinners, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, before I open tonight with my subject that's on my heart, I was thinking a little bit today about how there is much that is being spoken of about fake news, and all you need to do is open the newspaper and all you read about is bad news. But I'm thankful tonight to announce that we have good news. The good news of God's salvation that we can preach and announce to this lost and perishing world. And we're going to open God's Word tonight. And God has given us this His precious Word that we can read from, this book. And, I was driving down a street a couple weeks ago. And I saw this billboard that said, "Be prepared to question everything." And I got thinking about that a little bit. And isn't that man's disposition on everything with respect to God? He calls it into question. But may I suggest tonight that we're not here to question this book, but rather God has some questions for you. And with the Lord's help, we're going to open it. And you know, it's important that you listen to what God has to say. It's God's Word. I think of what Paul says, "Even as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but as God which trieth the hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words." I'm not here tonight to put on a production or tantalize your thoughts and get you all stirred up, but I'm here to give you the Word of God, I trust. And not to be fake. You know, there's that expression that goes on out there, "Oh, get real." Let's get real tonight. God desires truth in the inward parts. And He looks right down into your soul tonight. And He knows where you are, where I am. And He knows if you belong to Him or not. Now the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. This Word, God's Word, is that which judges you and I. We don't judge it. And so man would like to sit in judgment of this book. That's the wrong place to be. God has given us a profile, you might say, as to where each and every one of us is as a lost, fallen creature. There's nothing like His Word. And Paul was given this Word to preach, and it is our pleasure tonight and privilege and responsibility to preach the Word of God to you. And so, I'd like to turn to our subject in Acts chapter 10 tonight. And here's a man who had to hear words whereby he and his house might be saved. His name was Cornelius. And I'd like to start in Acts chapter 10 and verse 33. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be judge of the quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Well, Paul says here that now, therefore, are we all here present before God. And it's our prayer and our desire that each one of us, and especially those who are in this room, not saved, and you know who you are, that you would consciously get into the presence of God tonight. Ignore the crowd, ignore the speaker, but get into God's presence. And have a real sense that God knows you through and through. The Bible says that neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. God looks right down into your heart tonight, and He knows if you're saved or not. So we're thankful that you're here. We're thankful that you've come. And as Paul could say, Peter rather, now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. God has a message for you. God wants you to know that you need Him. You need His Son. And God commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men that He hath raised him from the dead. You see, tonight, to reject the gospel is incredibly dangerous. You and I don't know when we will take our next breath and when it will be our last. It says that our breath is in His hand. And He can take it in a moment. And so now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. See that you refuse not Him that speaketh. For if they escape not Him who spake on earth, how shall they escape Him that speaketh from heaven? You can't escape God. And so God, in His matchless grace and His mercy, has perhaps brought you here tonight to hear the gospel one more time. And He wants you to listen, to close in on that offer of salvation, to receive His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, as your own personal Savior. Peter says here that God is no respecter of persons. We live in a day and age in which man likes to boast of his social status and where he sits on the rung of society. And he puts a lot of stock into that, trying to make a name for himself, trying to be a cut above the next guy. It doesn't fly with God. You know, the cross tonight is the great leveler. It puts us all on even ground. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. God is no respecter of persons. And so, what I'm saying to you tonight is just come as you are. You know, God looks down into your heart and you might say, well, I'm not that bad. The Lord Jesus said, from within the heart of man proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemies, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile the man. Sound familiar? Think you're pretty good? It also says that we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. That's society today. That's you, that's me. And God has given us an outline of the character and profile of man. There is no other book in the world that puts its finger on the problem of mankind like God's Word, because God is the one that searches every heart, and He's the one that knows it. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, you and I think we know our own hearts, but we really don't. You think you're not as bad as the guy in the penitentiary who's serving some life sentence for some heinous crime that he did? You think you're not as bad as the thief who's living a lie? You think you're not as bad as the drunkard who's ruined his life? You think you're a cut above? No, the Lord Jesus exposes the hearts. And it says at His birth that the hearts of many shall be revealed. He came into this world and He exposed the hearts of men as He lived His life in perfection and walked amongst His own creature, and the hearts of many were revealed. No, the cross is the great leveler. We're all lost. And we need a Savior. And it's Jesus Christ who is the one that can save us and bring us to God. God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. And that's why the good news of salvation is so good. It's because we can offer peace. The Lord Jesus, he has made peace through the blood of his cross. By faith, we have peace with God. And it's faith that you need tonight. Repentance toward God, faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we can say that God has offered peace to this world through the gift of his Son, through the work of his Son, through acceptance of his Son. And if you'll only accept him tonight, you'll know what I mean. There's a bunch of people in this room tonight that can testify to the conforming power of the gospel. It says that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation unto everyone that believeth. It's as though Paul was saying, you know, the gospel works. The gospel works. He lived it. He called himself the chief of sinners. He lived this outward life of righteousness, laden with pride, carried himself about as though he was better than the next, condemning and persecuting Christians, and then God, the Lord Jesus, smote him on that way to Damascus, changed his life. It has pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe. We preach Christ crucified. And to this world it's a foolish message that God would send his Son to die for those who hate him. That's foolishness, they say. But unto us which are saved is the power of God. You ask any Christian who's come to Christ, and they can testify to the very thing that I'm trying to tell you tonight, is that the gospel works. If I can put it bluntly, it works. You're looking for peace. Because if you're in your sins tonight, I know you're searching for something. You're searching for peace. God says that there is no peace, save my God, to the wicked. And if you're in your sins tonight, you are wicked. God offers you peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. And whosoever will may come. Preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He is Lord of all. Do you know him as your personal Savior and your Lord? It's a question that we each must answer before God. Says here in verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. I don't know of any greater message than this. that God sent His Son into the world to meet us, to become one of us, to reach us. The Apostle John could say that that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, the word life. And that life was manifested, and we have seen it, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and has been manifested unto us. They handled Him. God came down, became a man, and walked amongst us. I don't know of anything greater than that. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for everything. Is there a message that is greater than that? That God would send His own Son into the world, and that the Lord Jesus would come. God manifest in the flesh, take His place amongst men, being made in the form of a servant, and fashioned as a man, become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The Lord Jesus came into this world, and He walked a perfect life. He came to reach us. He had a work to do. He had to go to the cross. There's no other way. And so, I don't know of anything greater than the love of God. I want you to know this tonight, that God loves you. That the Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven into this world to save the likes of you and me. He would go to the cross, lay down His life, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with Him. And we are witnesses of all things which He did. As I said, they handled Him. They saw Him. I often think what the angels must have thought when they looked down into that manger, and there their Creator. There He was. I often thought too what they must have thought as they viewed Him walking through this life in perfection, manifesting the love of God in everything that He did, reaching out, having compassion on those who needed it, and ultimately to be rejected, crucified, cast out, and nailed to a criminal's cross. And what must the angelic host, what must have they been thinking? That their Creator was hanging on a cross for His enemies. What love God has for you and I. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us. He sent His Son to manifest to you and to me how much He loves us. And go to the cross, lay down His life, and in the midst of incredible hate, display incredible love. that this world has never seen before. The gospel tonight is a love story. And the world can promote their love story, but God has something infinitely greater. When God Himself would come to rescue you and I through the death and work of His Son, if you'll only have Him tonight. Lord Jesus loves you, and He gave Himself for you. Perhaps we can just turn. Look at Luke 24. And take in the account. Sorry. Let's look at Luke 23. We'll start in verse 1. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation, forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ the King." And Pilate asked him, saying, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" And he answered him and said, "Thou sayest it." Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, "I find no fault in this man." And they were the more fierce, saying, "He stirred up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place." When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean, and as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned him with many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. Isn't this something? That the world can agree on this, that they hate Christ. Somebody had mentioned earlier that we live in a day and age when the name of Jesus is hated. And it's evident and blatant. The world can agree that they hate Christ. They can be at enmity with each other on other matters, but on this subject, they agree that they hate Christ. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, "Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people, and behold, I have examined him before you, have found no fault in this man." This is the second time now. Verse 15, "Now, no, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done in him, unto him." Third time. "I will therefore chastise him and release him, for of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast." And they cry out all at once, saying, "Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into the prison." Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And he said, the fourth time now, he said unto them, and the third time it says, "Why, what evil hath he done?" The testimony here, four times, that he's done nothing wrong. No, he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. The testimony of Scripture as to the Lord Jesus Christ was that in him was no sin. He did no sin and he knew no sin. He was the holy, spotless Lamb of God. The Lamb of God which would take away the sin of the world. The Lord Jesus perfect because he is God and man, the same person. He couldn't be anything less than perfect. And so, this multitude in their hate cries out, "Crucify him, crucify him." And the testimony as to him is that he's done nothing wrong. He's found no cause of death in him. He says, "I will therefore chastise him and let him go." And they were instant with loud voices requiring that he might be crucified, and the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed, the leadership now. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. The world desired a murderer. That's what they got. The Prince of Peace, they cast out. They didn't want him. And how is it for you tonight? Do you want Jesus? He wants you. Are you seeking the Lord tonight? He's seeking you. The Bible says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, for he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." God wants to pardon you tonight. God wants to deliver you from the chains and the bondage of sin that's ruling over your life, and ultimately will sink you into a lost eternity if you reject the Lord Jesus as your Savior. God's offer of salvation. The Lord Jesus was delivered to their will. Let's turn to verse 33. "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots." Calvary means a place of a skull. And isn't that a picture of man? An empty head? He boasts in his intelligence and his wisdom, so-called. His achievements and all that. But when it comes to God and God's beloved Son, he has an empty head. They crucify the Son of God, put him to an open shame, hung him in the midst of two malefactors. And the Lord Jesus cries out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That is in a display of his heart of love. I don't know what is. You think that in those moments as he hung there on that cross, he would be thinking about himself. You think he would be thinking about how he got into this situation. No, he came to accomplish the will of God. He came to do his Father's will. He came to die. He was not rebellious. He didn't turn back. And he looks up upon those who were crucified, who had crucified him, and he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself." I'm thankful tonight to know that he didn't save himself. He could have come down from that cross. He could have wiped out humanity in a moment, and he would have been justified in doing so. But he didn't do that. If he came down from that cross, you and I wouldn't have a Savior tonight. We wouldn't have a message to preach. We wouldn't have good news to tell you that God loves you, and that the Lord Jesus died to save you, and that God is open the floodgates of blessing if you'll only have His Son. And He wants to give you eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He didn't come down from that cross. His love held Him there. And the soldiers also mocked Him. It says in verse 36. Verse 37, and saying, "If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself." And a superscription also is written over Him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. "This is the King of the Jews." And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on Him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked Him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." Verse 44. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. 3 hours. God refused to let the sun shine. And He takes up with His own Son my sins. And there, in His unmitigated wrath, pours out all His judgment upon His beloved Son against sin, which has so outraged Him and His holiness. And there the Lord Jesus, as He hangs, He could say, "Father," or rather, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Communion with His Father had been broken. And there He hangs alone, answering to God for the sins of those who would receive Him as Savior. And for all that sin has done to this creation, He answered for it. 3 hours He hung there in darkness. That's a darkness, friends, that you and I cannot pierce or look into. And for those of us that know Christ, we'll spend all eternity in wonder and amazement as we contemplate His love and His grace that reached down to touch us. Lord Jesus dismisses His spirit. And He cries, "It is finished. The work is done. There's nothing left." And now God comes out to you and says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The Lord Jesus is calling out to you. Work is done. And He offers you free salvation. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You can't save yourself. Christ is the Savior of sinners. Think of that scene where only He is God. Could bow His head and dismiss His own spirit. The Lord Jesus said, "Foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head." As He went through this world, He couldn't find a resting place. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. But He lays His head on His own breast and dismisses His spirit. A man in his last act of hatred, as if he couldn't get enough, takes a spear and plunges it into the side of the Son of God. And forthwith came there out blood and water. The water to cleanse, the blood to save. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. How can you get right with God? Well, it's to accept Jesus tonight as your Savior. And His blood can wash away all your sins. He is our righteousness, for we have none of our own. Well, back to Acts chapter 10. What a scene where God Himself, the person of His beloved Son, the Lord Jesus, would take up our sins. This blessed Savior and His wondrous love. It's what we present to you tonight. And you can know Him. You can know Him. You can come to Him even now and accept Him as your own personal Savior. And it only takes a moment of faith. One look to Jesus saves the soul. They slew him and hanged him on a tree. Verse 39. God raised him the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. The Lord Jesus, God blessed forever, come down, God manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. God set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And God raised his Son and gave him glory. And tonight we preach a risen Christ. The story doesn't end with a dead Christ in a tomb. He went into death and the third day he rose again. It's as if it's God's stamp of approval on that work. And he raised his Son and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. God raised him up the third day. Whom they slew, and this is the one whom they slew, hanged on a tree. God's answer to his Son's work was resurrection. A place of victory. The victory has been won. He has conquered death. He's conquered the enemy. And now he's reaching out to this world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. The Lord Jesus is offering free salvation to you. Remission of sins. It's not good news to tell you about judgment. But the result of the rejection of God's good news of salvation is that he will judge you. and send you to a lost eternity. If you reject the message of His love to your never-dying soul, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and God tonight is reaching down, and He has His hand outstretched to you, and He wants you to reach into His, and He wants to give you the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's get real tonight. Do you know Him? And if you don't, I can't guarantee you that you're going to have the next 5 minutes, never mind the next hour or the next day or week. Accept Him now. Come to Christ and receive free salvation. Know what peace is. Have your sins washed away and experience a joy that this world cannot offer you. Let's pray. God and Father, we ask for blessing upon Thy precious word tonight. We pray for any sinner who is lost and in their sins here tonight, that they would close in on that free offer of salvation and receive Thy beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, as their own personal Savior. We thank Thee for the moments that we have in this life, even now, to proclaim the good news of salvation in a needy world of lost and perishing sinners. So we ask tonight for a blessing upon Thy precious word here and elsewhere, wherever it has been told forth, and the Lord Jesus has been presented as the Savior of sinners. We just thank Thee for Thy great love, Thy goodness, and Lord Jesus, we thank Thee for coming from glory and coming into this world to go to the cross, to lay down Thy life, to be raised again the third day, and to show this world of love, to offer free salvation to whosoever will. So we ask Thee for blessing now, and we pray in Thy precious name. Amen. Amen.